I think what this deal says is that they're trying to be kind of everything, probably as well trying to leverage their position in digital into industrial at some point.
I am Reese Tisdale, and this is Future Water, which we talk about all the ways which companies, utilities, and people are addressing the challenges and opportunities in water. This is episode 64, and I think it's going to be a good one. I'm joined today by my colleagues Keith Hayes and Ethan Edwards to discuss the recent acquisition of Evoqua Water Technologies by Xylem. Big deal for the water sector, certainly in terms of deal value, but it's also among two pure play water companies with big brands. So it is somewhat unique. In many respects, the deal's not surprising. It's been in the making for what we see is about 5 years. You know, there's sort of on and off discussions. But rather than get into details now, let's bring in Keith and Ethan a little bit. Before we do that, I wanted to bring up a couple of things that might be of interest to you. One, Bluefield has an upcoming webcast on capital and operating expenditure forecast for the U.S. and Canada on February 1st. But I've screwed this up before, so definitely go to our website, bluefieldresearch.com, to get better information and more clarity on when, where, how that is going to take place. I can assure you it's going to showcase a mountain of data and insights to help you and your companies better understand the outlook for the municipal water spending over the next year, let alone the next seven or eight before the end of the decade. Secondly, it's early in the year and Bluefield's travel schedule is unfolding. So I wanted to point out, be on the lookout for Bluefield colleagues. World Water Tech London, that's in February. We will be there. The 2023 UN Water Conference in New York, that's in March. The Utility Management Conference in California, that's in Sacramento. I believe that's in March as well. And then Oswater in Australia, which is in early May. So we will be there. But while the list is growing, we don't want to be a stranger. We don't want you to be a stranger. In any case, if you'd like our team to pay you a visit at your office, at your site, wherever you may be, let us know. We love to talk about water. We love to talk about company strategies. We just like to talk. So reach out, let us know. We're always into that and we can always figure something out. We're not a battleship group. We're pretty nimble and can respond to your needs. So to get you up to speed on what we're seeing at Bluefield in terms of Xylem acquiring Evoqua, let's bring in Keith and Ethan. All right. I'm joined today by Keith Hayes and Ethan Edwards. Top of the morning. Keith, what's up with you? Just back from Paris, it sounds like.
Hey, Reese. Yeah, back from Paris. A bit cold over here in Barcelona, but things are good. We got a little bit of snow and it's Friday, so things are good.
Yeah, this is it's an early morning pod recording because Keith has better things to do on his weekend while Ethan, who's with us as well, we're in Boston and just starting our day. Ethan, first time on the podcast. How are things?
Things are good. Looking forward to first time skiing in New England this weekend, and that'll be exciting.
Well, just don't come back with a broken leg or anything. I don't know if I should say that, but just be safe out there. So guys, you know, at the beginning of the week, we are talking about podcast topics, what's happening in the news. Usually we kind of lean on our research and what's happening, what we have coming out the door. But 7 a.m. Monday morning, we get news that Xylem has acquired or has intentions of acquiring Evoqua. So two big water pure plays have made news this week. So we thought we'd just use that as the topic of the week for the future of water. So Ethan, let's start with you. You've been digging into this week. I know we've got some research coming out on the deal. You've been having conversations with people across the industry and digging into the financials. So can you give us a quick rundown of the terms of the deal and what it means?
Yeah, it's definitely an exciting deal. And I mean, I know you and I have been talking back and forth about what it means pretty much every day of this week so far. So I'll be excited to break it down a little bit more here for our listeners. I guess before you get into the terms of the deal, I think it makes sense to give a brief overview to both companies. So I'll start with the company being purchased. So that's Evoqua. And I would say Evoqua has been around in the water industry for a while. They're focused on water treatment services and biotechnologies. And they've exchanged hands a couple of times. And before this Xylem acquisition was announced this Monday, the last transaction was back when they underwent an initial public offering, IPO, back in 2017. So fast forward to now, last year in 2022, their revenues have grown on 40% to $1.7 billion last year, including a lot of their acquisitions. And they currently employ like over 4,500 people. So like Xylem, they're a U.S. headquartered company. They're located in the good old Steel City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And it's worth noting that the majority of their revenue does come from the United States. I think it's around 82%. So here at Bluefield, we track the water revenues of the top 50 companies publicly traded in water. And for the most recent date that we had full annual data for all 50, which is 2021, Evoqua was the 16th largest public company by revenue. On Xylem, they're the second largest public water company by revenue. And this acquisition solidifies them in that spot. I would describe them as a hardware and technology solutions provider for the water industry. Last year, they had revenues over $5.3 billion and were active in 150 countries or so. They migrated south recently, moved their headquarters down to Washington, D.C. from up in New York, and now they're buying Evoqua.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, we can only imagine they moved it to D.C., which is also where Danaher is headquartered, another big water company. But as far as Xylem is concerned, I think it probably helps with policy and lobbying efforts.
Yeah, and get away from that cold weather. But I mean, it's still cold in D.C. So, but yeah, for the actual terms of the deal, Xylem is buying Evoqua in all-stock purchase, roughly around $7.5 billion, which values Evoqua at a 29% stock price premium. So they're paying 29% more than the value of the stock was right before the deal was announced. And it's supposed to close halfway through this year. And until then, both companies will keep operating as separate entities.
So, I mean, in brief, what do you think they're buying? In a nutshell, what are the key points that Xylem sees in Evoqua that makes them worth buying?
Yeah. So as you mentioned earlier, we're talking about two of the biggest pure play public companies in water. And in a way, it's almost a major consolidation in our industry. It's bringing together two players that are fully focused on water. And when you dive into what both companies have and what they've done well traditionally, there are a few ways that I see Evoqua fitting into Xylem's bigger picture going forward. I think that Xylem has been relatively quiet in the M&A space ever since they purchased Sensus for $1.7 billion back in 2017. And since then, they've made a really concerted effort to build out their digital and data solution space. We know digital water is a priority for them, but they've also explicitly said in the past, for example, at their investor relations day, that they would also see growth in the industrial water sector. And this move does help them capture share of the industrial market. Evoqua is involved in a variety of industries. Off the top of my head, they've got a big presence in life sciences, semiconductors, food and beverages. So, I mean, as a buyer, I think Xylem is probably looking at them and their industries as growth industries that are likely to be less volatile in the long run than some of the other heavier industries like energy or power. And buying Evoqua pushes their industrial revenues from 35% of their total to 47%. So it increases it a good share.
So Keith, what bringing you into the conversation? I mean, what do you see in the deal, you know, for good or bad?
Yeah, well, I'd say, first of all, I mean, the timing is interesting. Obviously, we know that maybe the recession's not as bad as people thought. They were probably in discussions for several months now. Interest rates are going up. It was an all stock transaction, and Xylem's been trading kind of sideways at a little bit over $100. So probably before things start to pick up again, the timing made sense. And so I think that what's good and bad about it, I mean, it really depends on obviously the perspective. I think for both parties, obviously they do complement each other in terms of, on the one hand, getting industrial fortified for Xylem, and for Evoqua, probably a longer term, better pair of hands in terms of a more complete portfolio, including in municipal. But, you know, there's obviously going to be growing pains, I think you've said, in other media reads. And, you know, I think that Xylem providing the components to the systems, and then Evoqua having the systems packaged together and channeling them towards industrial, that all makes sense. And we saw some important industrial deals a couple of years back, right? When Suez bought GE's industrial water division. And then we also saw when their competitor Sauer bought Niehaus. So that was a pretty big European deal where these were municipal players, not so much on the equipment side as much as Xylem, but trying to reinforce their position in industrial. So they followed that trend. But I think if there was anything that made us scratch our heads or think about this more was how focused Xylem has been on digital and maybe not so much being a hardware or system supplier, but more of a data analytics software type company. So I think what this deal says is that they're trying to be kind of everything in multiple segments and probably as well trying to leverage their position in digital into industrial at some point.
I mean, there is a lot to unpack there. I know that, I mean, the digital piece, you know, as we know from recent news, and we've been looking at it separately for research, is the digital piece for Xylem, right? They're still in many ways trying to harness all the capabilities that they've either built out organically or just through acquisition, like Sensus and Valor Water, et cetera. So, you know, they've sort of turned to and made a minority investment in Idrica, a Spanish-based company, basically help them do that. So that in and of itself is like, they're still working through that. Evoqua does open markets, it seems, for other digital sales, but also just other hardware and equipment. I assume it gives them a new channel to market. Don't you agree with that as well?
Yeah, for sure. It should. And I think that there are, as Ethan was saying, those specific verticals, whether it's food and bev or other industrial verticals, are areas where Xylem hasn't been as strong. If, you know, a third of their revenue is coming from that, so getting that closer to half gives them a more diversified position, and, you know, should give more running room to the digital business.
So Ethan, I'm throwing it back to you for a second. I mean, do you think, I mean, any evidence of what I would call a rub, meaning bringing the hardware and services company together, has Evoqua been relying on other firms? I mean, they're not an OEM, so they're relying on other companies for hardware and equipment, whether it be Xylem or other competitors. Any evidence of fallout there?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how a couple of their offerings shake out going forward. I mean, just as an example, I think Evoqua used to sell Grundfos pumps. So it'll be interesting to see how Xylem integrates that in their future plans.
I mean, it seems like, I mean, I know that Evoqua used like Grundfos or has in the past, and then there's some relationship with Veolia as well. So, you know, they're going to be impacted, right? So now I think it seems like, and maybe this, Keith, this is something we've talked about in regards to other acquisitions, but that is, there's sort of a competitive fallout where, you know, now Xylem is a $7.5 billion company. So if that's the case, the rest of the water industry and competitors are now going to look at them with a skeptical eye, because they're now competing with them, not just in hardware and equipment, but also services. Any comparables or any other challenges that other firms have had for large acquisitions, at least?
Well, I mean, obviously the most recent example, you know, not necessarily apples to apples, is Veolia and Suez. And they are obviously even larger than Xylem, you know, involved both in the private water utility business, also technologies, the gamut of services, and not just water, right? I mean, a lot going on in like waste management and other areas. So, you know, the challenges are always, I think, dividing up geographies, trying to clean up or decide what your channel strategy is, because sometimes there's partnerships with local resellers, distributors, things like that, that may require some tweaking. And then, you know, I think most importantly, though, is what's going to happen to all the personnel, their human capital, how that gets shifted around. And then what does that mean for the customers? And what it means for customers in terms of maybe they were buying from two different companies and now they're waiting for some better offer, you know, how they message that and the speed at which they do it and how well that meshes with what clients are looking for is tricky. I mean, you know, these are very pretty large companies. They have so many different divisions, so many different products they're offering. I think we've seen, you know, with Veolia and Suez, they had to kind of lop off different pieces that were international or were digital or were technology oriented. And some of them went to Suez, some of them went to Veolia. Veolia being the larger company, I think kept a lot of the sort of utility assets. Suez is now a much smaller company. Arguably, there are some economies of scale in dealing with Veolia, perhaps. But on the other hand, you know, Suez had some technologies that originated there that they were trying to keep in that portfolio. So I'm just speaking on a very high level at merging big water players. I think in the case of Evoqua and Xylem, hopefully there's less direct overlap. I mean, you know, with Suez and Veolia, you had, you know, the competition authorities having to enter and assess all of their businesses, particularly in France, because they were creating a lot of competitive challenges. And I don't think you'll really see as much of that with Evoqua, but you know, what you I think will see from the customer point of view is, okay, so is this system I was buying before going to have Xylem pumps in it? Or the next time we rely in our factories to use a Evoqua treatment system, is it going to run on some Xylem software? Or are we going to be in some sort of migration phase? So obviously a lot of planning to be carried out. And, you know, let's not forget that this deal hasn't been fully closed yet. So it's been announced, but there's still some hurdles to go through.
I mean, when I look at this deal, just my take is I really see, like, you know, Xylem looking at the deal and they see tailwinds in which, you know, that Evoqua is actually well positioned to ride going forward. One is the industrial piece, which I think, Ethan, you definitely, both of you talked a bit about, you know, particularly in lighter industries like electronics, life sciences, pharmaceuticals in Asia Pacific, which is an area or region not of strength to Xylem, but also the US, right? They're strong in the US. So I think, you know, there's real positivity there. The other piece, which we talked a little bit about, is the services, right? Xylem is not really a services company. That's really what Evoqua does. So is that going to drive recurring revenues, you know, which is, that's the big ticket these days, it seems. Everything from, you know, Netflix to even your iPhone, you can't even buy it all at once. You have to buy it on monthly payments, it seems like, over the course of years. And that stretches into the water sector. Recurring revenues are a real thing, and it gives them some runway. The other thing is, where I think there's strong tailwinds is water quality, right? And I know that Xylem does treatment. They're in that space, but Evoqua is particularly strong in that area. And then they're also particularly strong when it comes to emerging contaminants or PFAS. I mean, Ethan, you want to shed some light on that? Where is Evoqua? What's the size of that market? And what do we see going forward?
Yeah, definitely. Evoqua definitely has a strong presence in that advanced water and wastewater treatment. Something they do really well is in treating those complex waste streams and emerging contaminants like PFAS or selenium or nitrate. And, you know, just touching on PFAS, for example, which are those pesky compounds that are a growing concern that I think we talked about on this podcast. My colleague Lauren was talking about some of the forecasts that we've done here at Bluefield, and it's expected to be a bigger issue in the coming years. I mean, there's regulation in the pipeline in the United States at both the state and the national level. And we're projecting that the PFAS treatment market is going to grow here in the U.S. at almost a 14% annual rate, which is a lot faster than other sectors up until 2030. So Evoqua does GAC, which is granular activated carbon, ion exchange, reverse osmosis. So they have a good number of treatment and remediation technologies for PFAS.
Yeah, I think that's what's interesting. I mean, we've got our PFAS report. We've looked at that over several years now, been working with clients on market opportunities there. And it is that shift from GAC, granular activated carbon, for drinking water. It is going to become more advanced because, to your point about regulations being implemented at the federal level and state, is those MCLs are going down and they're going to get harder and harder to capture using GAC. So Evoqua is in a good spot. They've got a big brand. They've got a big footprint, not only on the drinking water side, but also on the wastewater side. They're pushing in that direction as well. And one would honestly expect, as things unfold, you could see now Xylem acquire more technologies or players in that market. So expect to see some more M&A in that space. The other aspect, I mean, Keith, you can shed some light on this, is, you know, we are starting to see some, it lags behind the US when it comes to Europe, right? So Europe and or Australia, there are some policies in place for PFAS, or emerging policies is a better way to put it. Any perspective on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the culprits in terms of the industries responsible for producing PFAS are the same in Europe as in the US. You know, the challenges short term, like with drinking water and remediating that, I think are, you know, Europe's trying to deal with that. Also the, you know, military bases and firefighting foam, treating those types of problematic sites is already, you know, underway, particularly in like Northern and Central Europe. But, you know, the elephant in the room, which I think was from our PFAS report, is really how to deal with biosolids. And, you know, we've looked at which countries are incinerating more of their biosolids than others. And is there a way to incorporate like thermal hydrolysis type technology to destroy the PFAS or not? So I think, you know, they're probably about 5 years behind in terms of regulation on a member state level in the EU. So, you know, definitely they've got the studies ongoing to identify which are the most problematic sites. I think Australia as well is really trying to move forward. I think next year, bring some policies in place which are going to require managing the amount of PFAS and biosolids that get applied to landfills. So things are definitely moving there. The US is still ahead, but there's going to be a market for PFAS treatment.
So let's see if we can wrap this up. I mean, with you, Ethan, any final takeaways on this deal? Are you excited about it? Big deal, bad deal? What do you think?
Yeah, I would say it's a big deal. I mean, just financially, Boca was a big company, Xylem's a big company, and they're getting even bigger. Deal valuation certainly does look a little expensive by past water standards, but there's just not that many big M&A deals in water that we can compare it to. So it's exciting to keep an eye on, and we'll see how it shakes out.
Keith, what about you?
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about it. If you consider the attention that Xylem can bring to industrial water. So Xylem, if we look at just from a marketing, messaging, strategy point of view of water companies across the sector, right? I think Xylem has been a more interesting one in terms of like sponsoring a major English Premier football team, or, you know, being, I think, very outspoken about, you know, how they're trying to solve water and all their campaign that's going around that. So bringing attention to certain issues around water has been helpful for the industry as a whole. And I think Xylem has done that well. And industrial water is in an interesting place right now. We know energy prices have gone up in a lot of places all over the world. So they're having to figure out how they can manage their water better to lower their OPEX costs, which have to do with pumping water. There's also a push towards getting to net zero, as we know, not just among municipal water utilities, but amongst industrial customers who are setting their environmental sustainability goals. So between trying to reduce cost and being more environmentally sound in how you manage water, if that's something that industries are trying to figure out better how to do, having another big reliable player to compete with a, you know, Veolia, Suez, or some of these other groups is positive. And as well as the intention it's going to bring on it. So, you know, overall, yeah, net, I do think it's positive. The deal, the timing more or less makes sense. I think we're probably all concerned how the integration is going to go, but that happens with any big deal like this. So, you know, pressure's on Xylem now to make this work.
Yeah, I mean, if I have a take, you know, I agree with both of you. And if I have a take, I mean, looking back historically, it's, I don't know if it's quite two phoenixes rising from the ashes, but both these firms, quite honestly, have seen dark days. I mean, Xylem was ITT at one point, rebranded. Evoqua, like I mentioned, was Veolia. Then it was US Filter, it was Veolia, then it was Siemens. And, you know, was it 2013, 14, 15? I don't remember when it was, being in Pittsburgh. Evoqua at the time was, they had been acquired by AEA and private equity firm. And I want to say those felt like dark days. It could have been, it was a cold, snowy day and I had a broken arm and felt like death warmed over. But truth be told, it was not a happy time, I think, for the company. And since 2017, there's been real momentum for both of these firms that they've picked up steam. And now they've come together. Now we're going to, you know, so like I said, kudos to Evoqua from growing that business from 1.2 to, was a 1.7 and change overall. So I think that's positive. I mean, it is a water sector. It's not, you know, tech sector. So growth is not going to be astronomical, but it's been steady. Some of that has obviously come through M&A, a lot of small acquisitions they've made. But, and on the other hand, Xylem had made a real commitment to digital. They have a 2025 target of 50% digital by 2025 of revenues. You know, how that unfolds, last time I checked, it was at about 35%, according to them. But they're real brands. They're solid. I think they're well-respected in the industry. Now, you know, like I said, kudos to Evoqua, but now Xylem's holding the bag. They're going to find out the truth about Evoqua and where that goes. So with that being said, not to get the last word, Ethan, what are you working on these days? What can we expect from you in the next couple weeks?
There's a lot going on, a lot of tabs open in my computer for sure. But the two main ones are, I'm working on a water for power generation global forecast that will hopefully be out sooner rather than later. And then also continue to plug away at a water and green hydrogen report.
Nice. So on the energy side, broadly speaking, Keith, what about you?
Yeah, I don't think I have as many tabs open. I think we're wrangling with getting deeper on Europe investment cycles for some of the larger utility systems. So building out a lot of the data platform that we have in the US and Europe, and recruiting. Bluefield's growing and we're looking to get some more bodies in here. So it's an exciting time.
You stole my thunder. That was one of the things I was going to bring up at the end was, hey, if you're looking for a job in beautiful Barcelona and you already live there, even better. We are recruiting. We've brought on new commercial capabilities that are ramping up in the next week or so. But then we're also looking on the research side. We've been interviewing and pretty far along that path, as well as the consulting side. So, hey, you can't beat it. If you were to look at how we're dressed in Boston versus Barcelona, there's a big difference even in the middle of winter. So be on the lookout. Go to our website to learn more about that. So, all right, guys. Well, that's enough. And thanks again for taking the time. I know this is relatively early for some of us, but also quick turnaround when it comes to recording a podcast, thanks to the deal. So thanks again, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you. Be well.
All right, that is the future of water. So like I said at the beginning, look out for Bluefield Webcast on February 1st. Secondly, look out for us at a series of conferences over the next couple of months. And lastly, you're looking for a market research position and commercial positions and consulting positions in Barcelona, let us know, covering Europe. So before we sign off, if you're in Boston, let us know. We can set up a meeting at our location downtown, 10 minutes from the airport, 10 minutes from the train, 30 seconds from the subway. Please subscribe to the Future of Water podcast. Give us a review. That's how we know if anybody's listening, quite honestly. So help us help you, and we'll keep doing it. Send us a note to waterexperts@bluefieldresearch.com with any topic ideas you'd like us to discuss. And lastly, tell a friend about it, because I like friends. You should too. Give them something interesting to listen to. This podcast and these water industry insights have been brought to you by the one and only Bluefield Research. Learn more about us. Visit us at bluefieldresearch.com. Until we talk again, be well, be safe, and take care.